Good evening, City Life Church. We're so glad to have you joining us tonight for this fifth Saturday online only service. And as we've been doing for the last year or so, we have gathered this morning to minister in our city and serve our city. And then one of the things we've really enjoyed doing is bring in different organizations that we are delighted and thrilled to be partnering with and introduce you all to the people behind these organizations. And so we are so excited to have Randall and Kelly Nichols with us from Echo Family Care Partners. And myself, along with all of you, are getting to meet them today and learn a little bit more about their personal story and the story of this organization, how it serves our city. So thank you all so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've heard so many good things about you, and I know that you've had an opportunity to connect with Pastor Justin in times past. So I'm delighted to be able to have this time with you all. Yeah. So yeah, let's start. Just tell me about Echo Family Care Partners. Yeah. Start wherever you want to start, because we want to hear all about it.
I'll tell you that the first pastor that I think I reached out to was Justin. Just knowing his history and knowing they were walking through adoption and just thought, man, we got to find some kindred spirit, you know, in trying to understand the needs of the families and community. But for us, I mean, it was an adoption, you know, two adoptions, and seeing our community surround us and feeling like we needed to try to create some community for other families who might be interested in opening their homes for adoption and making that a reality for more and more families. So that's kind of the impetus for us, where it really kind of became a reality, was how can we equip families to say yes to foster care and adoption? And then how can we introduce their churches to means of support so that they can succeed? Because the stats are what for?
Yeah, I think 50% of foster families quit within a year. And they say lack of support is the number one reason. So that was really where we saw, as a foster and adoptive family, we had that support. In fact, our youngest came to us. He was on a staff retreat, and I got a call from our caseworker. Our home study, I think, was maybe expiring that month. So we were kind of like, we're done. I think a week before, we literally had high-fived. Like, we're done. Done with the baby phase. Like, moving on, four kids, even number, like, party of six. There you go. And then I got a call from our caseworker, and she said, hey, we have a baby with Down syndrome, and she's on oxygen and a feeding tube, and she's in the NICU, and her mom is choosing to make an adoption plan. What do you think? And I was like, you want us to help advocate? Like, absolutely. And she was like, well, I've been doing that for 3 weeks. I'm thinking maybe you guys might be the perfect family for her. And I was like, well, yes, but maybe I should talk to Randall. So I called him at the staff retreat, said, hey, walked him through that. And he's like, wait, what? How old is she? No baby.
Like, we high five.
Right, exactly.
This is supposed to be a done deal.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, think about it tonight. And so I think the staff said he wore a path in the, you know, walking back and forth, just pacing.
Wow.
And that morning said, you know, if God's opening the door, we're going to walk through it, of course. And and what I say is, the reason her yes was so easy is because we have been so well supported through our adoption with our other daughter that we knew we could do it. We knew we could. And so we were able to say yes to her and all of the medical things and all of the things that came with it. But we also know that, you know, he was at the time a worship leader at a large church, fairly visible. You know, no one at that point had adopted, especially, you know, special needs. And so we knew that we were blessed to have that support, and not everyone was. So we kind of questioned, what would it look like? You know, do other people need support? It seems like yes. And what would it look like for us to kind of rally that support in the community with the church, you know, and wrap churches around families that are saying yes to foster care and adoption? And so he was, you know, connected to someone that's kind of doing this, you know, on a grassroots level, like nationwide, and said, like, hey, is this something that people even do that they would need? And, you know, he was like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, I know your area. I know the needs of the foster care community in your area, and the church needs to come around these kiddos and their families and help, you know, accomplish some of these things. And so that was kind of where it really started for us. And, you know, I think hearing families say, for it was kind of this refrain when we were walking through our first adoption and second adoption, really also, like, I can never do what you do. I can never do it. And it's like, it really kind of was agitating. Yeah, yeah. Like, why? It felt like we're right. not superheroes. Like, we don't
special.
We don't have special skills. Right. Like,
yeah.
So what does that mean? Like, when you look at us and say, I can never do it, what does that mean? Like, what does that gap feel like for you? And,
right,
and
right.
what it came down to was support. Like, we don't feel like we could get the support that you guys got for this. But we would, if we could, man, we would open our homes right. in a heartbeat. Right. And so that was that became sort of the like the problem to solve was right. how can we rally support for these families?
Statistically, so that same statistic, 50% of foster families will quit within a year.
Yeah.
But the follow-up is, but with support, with that, we call it, you know, wraparound support. With that support, what is it, like 90% of families will continue on for multiple years. And then the little disclaimer that we always hesitate to share with people is that not only will they continue on, but that support circle, like over half of the support circle will be like, well, if you can do it, we can do it. And yeah. then they start yes. saying yes. yes. And we saw yes. that in our own yeah. lives. Our inner circle is like, yeah, we know you guys.
It's contagious.
You know? Yes. Yeah.
I've seen that happen in yeah. church communities
like,
specifically.
We can do it. Yep. Yeah.
If someone does it, they do it successfully.
Right.
And they model, they kind of answer the question, could I do this
right.
for people just by living it out before them?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So when you guys say support, for, mm-hmm. I'm going to start at the beginning because this is not my lane. So I'm really right. excited to learn more. And forgive the question if it's, you know, a dumb question, but help me understand what when they need support, what do families, what have you found they actually need? What does that word umbrella word support break down into right. in practical ways?
So, I mean, what we kind of break it into is two lanes. So there's the tangible resources mm-hmm. and then there's this like intangible support care.
Yeah.
So the tangible resources are the, hey, we've got a sibling set showing up to our house in an hour of five kids and we technically are approved for five kids, but we only have a bunk bed. So we need three more beds.
Yeah.
And kids show up barefoot, minimal clothes.
Sure.
You know, so like we need clothes. Like we'll get a budget from the state to go shopping at some point. But in the meantime, like I need to go to Walmart or Target like first thing in the morning and get diapers and clothes and shoes.
Right.
And so beds or something, we basically any resource that we would say qualifies as emergency resources, mm-hmm. we keep on stock. So mm-hmm. we have beds, car seats, mm-hmm. You know, if you say, hey, we're only going to take school age kids, you're definitely going to call for a baby.
You know,
like, and I think like foster, the social workers do a great job honoring like what you've set and the parameters. But
sure,
the reality is
sure.
like, you know, hey, we have this school age child, but they come with a little sister. Would you be willing? And of course, when you get that call, you're like, yep, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But now we need a crib or we need a car seat.
Yep.
So those kind of things we keep. Mm-hmm. And those are the tangible resources that just make it easier to be able to mm-hmm. say that. Yes.
Yeah.
But the intangible is like the support, the, showing up with, you know, like, hey, I'm at Costco, what do you need? I'm going to drop it off at your house. You know, like
just knowing that someone is kind of there thinking of you, you're not alone.
Right. Yeah. yeah. And just those kind of like, you know, I'm praying for you. Or like we had people that, you know, when we were walking through the adoption again, cause both of our little girls had medical needs that came, you know, mm-hmm. late as well. Mm-hmm. So we have spent a good bit of time in the hospital. And so, you know, we'd call and say like, hey, we're in the emergency room. We're going to get, you know, admitted. Mm-hmm. And then families would drop everything and say, okay, where do your big kids need to be?
Yep.
You know, like, okay, oldest has a soccer game in Virginia Beach. Cool. We're going to go and we're going to cheer them on. Or we'll come and sit at the hospital and let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Or even in best case scenario where we're all healthy and we're all there, like, hey, let us go to a game with you and then we'll entertain the littles and let you actually watch your kid.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of stuff, like we're going to show up at your house and take anybody that wants to bowling or to the movies.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff that just really like leaned into how can we help your family thrive?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So it sounds like people mm-hmm. that are positioned in church families,
right?
Right. In community
yes.
and meaningful,
right.
you know,
yes.
two way right. covenant relationship type, right. you
yes.
know, committed
right.
Jesus honoring friendships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, they are perfectly positioned
yeah.
as
right.
I hear you talk
right. yes.
to do that, whether it's opening their home or being part of that village and that community
yeah.
that
yeah.
brings support. And I know we've had an opportunity
right.
within our church to be able to do a little bit of that. That's really interesting. So when did all of, I didn't ask a year, how long has Echo been around?
Yeah,
5 years, actually, this
okay.
year.
This year, 2019.
This year, 2019, we yep. kicked it off in August.
Right in time for COVID.
Right in
yeah.
time.
Yeah. So he actually,
picked that up quickly.
He was on staff at a church, went to our pastor and said like, hey, this is the thing that's brewing in our hearts. What do you think about
yeah.
this? And him and his wife were like, what took
you so long?
Like,
We've known this for a long time.
Right. About it. And so it was like, stick with me. We're going to transition you out. And then you guys do this. And so that was great. That was a huge blessing. And then I had worked the same role. My background's in trauma and things like that for over 15 years.
Okay.
And so we were like, we don't have the budget yet, but we'll get there. So I'll just keep doing this work, you know, just whenever I can. And then we had a great year end. Mm-hmm. So we're like, we can hire you full time. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to give my company a couple of months. So I'll start March 1st of 2020.
Oh,
thinking that would be like a chill, because there's waves in the foster care world, right? And so like usually what you see is it tapers off in spring and summer, and then you see this flood come in the fall. So we're like, we'll have like 6 months to really get like our bearings straight before things get chaotic. It was March 1st. So we were quickly getting calls. And what was interesting, though, is that was that like when I look back, that's the shift. Like that happened because we got into this to support foster and adoptive families and kinship families, which I don't think we've mentioned, but kinship families are just
grandma.
Yeah. Your aunt or uncle that's raising, you know, nephew, niece, grandma that's raising grandkids. So it's a foster situation, but it's a familial placement. And so we're supporting these families. And then March of 2020, we start getting calls from caseworkers.
Yeah. Cause there's, that's the majority of the, what we learned through this is that the majority of the needs that child welfare as a whole is trying to solve are on the prevention side of keeping families together, safely together. Mm-hmm. So they're really 70% of the work they're doing is unseen. It's right on the side of trying to make sure that this family has the resources, not just material resources, but community connections.
Yep.
So that they can thrive as a family independent of any interventions that the state might need to offer. And so during COVID, that really accelerated this, our introduction to this group of families. Because Kelly said, we really thought that our primary lane was just going to be helping recruit families to become foster families or to step into adoption or to support those families who had already stepped into that space. And then all of a sudden the agencies are calling and say, hey, we're in this weird space in early COVID times. We don't really know how to best care for them, but we know that they need care. We just don't know how to get it. So can you reach out to your churches and see if they can help us help these families?
Yeah, because without that help, these kids are going to wind up in foster care. And there's no lane for that, right?
Right.
And that's what you're hearing is we don't know who else to call. Mm-hmm. But this family needs help. And if they don't get that help, these kids will wind up in foster care. Mm-hmm. Can you help? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we're like, yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. Right.
So really there was a gap, it sounds like, in services as far as like funded by the state and the federal level. Mm-hmm. And so you guys felt that gap or saw that gap.
Yeah.
Has anything shifted in, I know you probably can't speak maybe at a national level, but maybe you can, but even locally to fill that gap besides ECHO? Like, are you guys alone in that? And is it up to the church? Who's filling that gap?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a focus. Like, we're seeing a slow shift, and that's exciting. But you can probably speak to better
I think, yes, there is a shift. I don't know that it is something that is measurable yet. I think it's still small.
Yep.
But I do think that the church has a bigger role to play than we're playing right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just a matter of introduction.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the lane that we get to play is we get alerted to a lot of needs from the agencies. Right. We get to play connectors between the local agency and the local church to say, hey, here's a need, here's a resource that the agency is really having a hard time meeting.
Right.
But we know so many people in the church have either a special skill or they've got an extra thing in their attic that they're a bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. We can connect these resources to these families in need and help bring stability to them before foster care becomes an issue. So I think what we're seeing is the shift that we're starting to see, and it's very still early, is the church's curiosity about this thing that we didn't know a whole lot about, foster care we didn't know a whole lot about. And then there's all these other kids, families who are experiencing investigations and still safe enough to stay home, but need so much community support. So many of these families are isolated.
Yes.
And that is the thing. Like for us, it's not a bed problem. This family's not, that may be the thing that the agency is requesting, is an extra bed or two extra beds or more clothes or car seat or whatever, or help with groceries. That might be the thing that they're asking for, but what they're really asking for is connection.
Yep.
It's not a bed problem.
Someone else needs to know what's happening in their home, and come alongside.
That's right. Because if you, as a well-connected person at the church and within your own family circles and within the community, if you were to have a need like this family is experiencing where you need an extra bed or whatever, you would have people to call.
Absolutely.
And that would not turn into a CPS investigation.
Right.
But if it's gotten to that point, it's because this family is so isolated and they've nowhere else to turn for these resources that it's gotten to this point.
Yep.
And now their isolation has turned into a crisis.
Right.
And what we saw, so we started helping, right? We said, yes, obviously we're going to say yes. If we can keep, we poverty should never be a reason that kids are placed in a foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what we saw was, we kind of go back to this analogy, the stream analogy. So, you know the quote Desmond Tutu says, like, we have to stop pulling kids out of the water and figure out why they're falling in.
Yep.
So we look at it, okay, foster care is pulling kids out of the water, right? Like, they have fallen in and now we need to pull them out. And so if we look upstream, why are they falling in? Mm-hmm. These are these vulnerable families that are isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we can't overlook in that, you know, stream analogy, what happened? Like, we're not going to pull every child out of the water, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens for the kids that don't get pulled out? And downstream is a waterfall and they're going to go over. And what we know in the state of Virginia is 50th on permanency, which...
Wow.
It's not good, right?
Wow.
So,
Kelly.
And that means basically permanency means we have a permanent plan for you for a family before you age out of foster care. So that might mean going back home to buy a mom. That might be going to grandma, and that might be adopted by the foster family. But we are 50th on finding a permanent home for children before they age out of foster care.
Can you help us understand what your experience has led you to understand why?
Right.
Why
and
is.
So, well, and I think what happens is, so like if we choose any part in the stream, so if we stay downstream, like why are they falling over? What we know happens next is we were talking in the car on the way over here. I think the statistic is now over 90%, but the majority of these kids will wind up homeless, trafficked. In fact, within 48 hours, 20% are immediately homeless. And then within 2 days, majority are trafficked. Mm-hmm. Like 60 to 80%
are these young
are
people that age out, or young people? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So these are people that age out of foster care, immediately homeless, and then trafficked within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the other ones, they experience, addiction, incarceration,
early pregnancy.
Yeah, crisis pregnancy. 70% of young women who age out of foster care will experience a crisis pregnancy within those 2 years, compared to like 30% of the general public. So then. They've experienced homelessness, likely some experience with trafficking, usually some involvement with, criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they experience a pregnancy. And now they're right back up at the top of that stream with their children immediately at risk, because who is more isolated than a foster youth who's aged out of care with no one, right? And now they have no support, no resources, and now their children are at risk of being placed in the same system that failed them. And it's a loop. So if we talk about why are we there, it's because we haven't caught them anywhere in the stream. And it just keeps happening.
Yep.
And isolation, I think, is probably the biggest issue.
Yeah, it's definitely the one that... We started out trying to identify what our enemy was, who our enemy was in this, and that is where we've landed. Isolation is our biggest enemy in all of this, because when these isolation leads to so much desperation, and you make so many bad choices, or you're forced to because there are no other options.
Yes.
But when we bring, the stat with 50% of the foster families quit because they don't have support, that's another form of isolation. But we see the success there. And then what we've seen, I mean, we have at least a dozen stories of families who have walked this road of isolation, who have been then picked up and carried by a church, and they stop calling us because the church is meeting all their needs, right?
Right.
In the beginning, it was actually alarming, right? Like we have another full-time employee, and so it's just the three of us. And so I'd say, have you heard from her lately? And we're like, oh no. Oh no, thinking
right,
the worst,
red flag.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we reach out and she's like, oh no, I'm doing great. I'm getting a promotion at work and all of this. And I'm like, is everything okay? And she'll say, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, oh, so-and-so is watching him this weekend so I can do an extra training and so-and-so. And it's like, you've got people now. You have a church, you have a community.
Sure.
And so you're not calling because you have people. Like life happens, things get crazy. Like, you know, your car breaks down or whatever. Yep. Like these things that before would throw you into a tailspin of crisis, right? Yes. But now they're still happening, but you've got people to call.
Yeah.
And that's the game changer.
Yeah. That's always the goal for us too. Like our hope is that we are able to remain invisible and let the church be at the point of care for these families. Yeah. So when a family is able to look back on the success that they've gained, they're not saying, I did this because Echo was able to do this, but because City Life stepped in, or because whatever church.
Right. Because I have a church.
Because I have a connection now to this church. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So maybe I'm asking this question you just answered, but I'll ask it anyways. What are the goals of Echo? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's relationships with churches so that they can remain invisible, but you know, what are those goals if you had to boil it down a little bit?
Well, there's some that are pretty easy to state. Like when you talk about aging out, there's every year just in our community, there are 30 kids who age out care without a connection to an adult. That number should be zero. Like we want that number to be zero.
Right.
Right. 30 is an attainable number.
Yep.
We can get that down to zero. So that's one thing. And I think the other is that when an agency gets in a situation where they're looking for resources, that their first call is to one of the churches in our network or through us to one of the churches in our network. So that they're not so stressed about finding the need, so that they're able to get the need met quickly and this family can find the stability they need before things continue to snowball. I mean, ultimately, we would want every family to feel stable and connected in community. But I mean, on the large scale, like our lifetime goal for this work is that that every family has a stable connection to some form of community, and that we're able to interrupt or significantly reduce or even eliminate the need for foster care, for families to need foster care interventions.
Yeah.
Because the church has stepped in and become aware of the needs that, that isolated families are experiencing and are able to catch them before they fall into the stream.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's so good. So with those goals, what are Echo's greatest needs?
So, you know, we run in a lot of lanes. So resource-wise, we try to pay attention to what is being asked, you know, what is needed.
Right.
So we don't want to do, you know, something like, you know, put a lot of effort and resources behind something that maybe is not needed. So like every year since we started, we've done a back to school event that's provided shoes. But now we just heard in the last week, we've heard about like two different events providing shoes. So we're like, oh, we maybe don't need to do that again. Like, let's make sure we're putting our time and energy around like needed things and really lean in on partnerships of people that are already doing things. And we all collaborate. So in that we pay attention to, and, you know, Randall said like beds are a big issue, something that, you know, when, CPS, the Child Protective Services, they're called, what are the things that would prevent or would require a child be removed from the home, or what would prevent a child from going back home? Beds are a big one. Can't be sleeping on the floor. And so, and we do get calls, you know, like mom and five kids are sharing a ton of bed on the floor. And so they need, you know, six beds. And, and that's where like God works amazingly, because we don't have the space to store six twin beds, but we'll get a call one week and say like, hey, you know, we just bought a house and it's furnished and we have six beds and I don't know what to do with them. And then we get a caseworker call that's like, hey, we have a mom and kids, and we're like, yes, I love it.
I did see on your website there's a area that's like weekly needs almost, if I remember correctly. And it was really like really detailed and really attainable, I would say.
Absolutely.
Like you could have an impact and check that off.
Absolutely. So that's one of the things that he does kind of through this database system. But yeah, it's like, hey, mom needs we need a, you know, a full-size bed for mom, and we need a toddler bed for little one. You know, we need five twin beds, we need two car seats and a double stroller. Like those needs that we get, we try to keep those in stock, and it's kind of rolling in and rolling out constantly. So sometimes we have it and we're able to just do it immediately, and sometimes we do need to put it out there like, hey, we have this need. So things like that. And then we were always getting calls for diapers, just always.
Yeah.
And so I guess, was it only
almost 3 years ago now. So, about 2.5 years ago, I was like, let's pay attention to this because every day we're getting calls for diapers. So let's see what's about that. So, you know, quick search, National Diaper Bank, like, right? We got the statistics, we got the info, like, what's going on? So what we found out is that really it changed. It was 1 in 3 families struggled to afford diapers. Now it's 1 in 2. Wow. 1 in 2 families struggle to afford diapers. We're like, well, if that alone tells us that we need to be helping, right?
Yeah.
No other state program like WIC, Medicaid, none of those pay for diapers.
Really?
Yes. So there's no state assistance for diapers. But here's the big
thing. That's mind-boggling to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
But the bigger issue is that if you do not have diapers for your child, they can't go to daycare. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can't go to daycare, if they can't go to daycare, you're not going to work, right?
Right.
And if you're not going to work, you're not getting paid. And not having diapers 1 month directly impacts not getting paid, not being able to pay your bills, and being evicted. Mm-hmm. And so we see people that are living in isolation that don't have those, you know, like that safety net, that security net, not having diapers. It's this bill juggling. Okay, I have to buy diapers so they can go to daycare so I can go to work. So I'm not going to pay my water this month, but I'm going to pay this, or I'm not going to be able to pay my rent, but I'm going to pay it late.
Right.
And it's this constant juggling, and it leads to eviction. It leads to homelessness. It leads to parents sleeping in cars and then CPS getting involved. And it's diapers, right? It's diapers. On average, like they've done studies. I mean, recently they just released the last round of studies. The National Diaper Bank said that on average, these families that struggle to afford diapers miss 5 days of work a month. 5 days a month due to diaper need. So that's not all the sicknesses and all the other things that happen, just diaper need. And so we're like, yeah, absolutely. We need to be a dependable resource for diapers. And so we started a monthly diaper distribution. And I think in the beginning, it was like 30 families, maybe. And it quickly, you know, like, WIC is saying, oh, y'all do diapers? Great. We'll refer people. You know, like case workers are like, yes, okay, this is so needed. Like, yes, diapers. And that grew. Now we have space to our budget will allow us to serve 200 kids a month.
Okay.
And that, and we have it tiered out, like highest needs get priority. And then that fills up in about 1 to 2 minutes. And then we have around 700 to 900 kids on our wait list every month. Yeah. So that tells us we're maybe meeting 10% of the need. Just in Hampton and Newport. And really not even, just in Hampton and downtown Newport News.
And the success just in the short 2.5 or 3 years that we've seen, like our goal with it was that it would help alleviate some of the burden that is sending families into these crises where foster care has to get involved.
Right.
And I mean, at least with the families that we have been able to serve, we know that 88% of them are avoiding foster care because of the diaper
program. That's amazing.
Because it's so
what an impact.
It impacts the ability to work and pay your bills.
I don't think everybody would connect those dots. So that's really powerful to understand that.
Absolutely.
Some of the needs that we have, I'll just, you know, shamelessly throw this out.
No, absolutely. You have the ear of City Life right now, so I'm inviting you. What do you want to say to us?
These are things that we would love to be able to do that aren't. She mentioned we're meeting a fraction of the needs of diapers. Obviously, we would love to meet 100% of the needs for diapers.
Right.
That's a space capacity for one, and a financial capacity, or just, you know, just more partners and individuals donating to, to the monthly thing. But the space capacity, like we are at space capacity.
Yeah, we have a room maybe a little bigger than this, and it has aisles, and it's got, you know, we've got up to the sky with car seats, strollers stacked. We've got diapers in every available location. And as we get closer, our diaper distribution right now is the third week of the month. So as we get closer, people that host diaper drives, people that buy diapers and send them to us, they will collect them through the month, and then we'll sort them, and we will, it'll be walking space, like sideways walking space, right?
Yes.
Like it's, you can't walk straight on. You got to kind of shimmy your way. So space constraints for sure. We're limited, you know, cause we will get calls like, hey, I have a stroller. Do you need it? I'm like, we have 2 strollers right now. Now, the chances of these 2 strollers going out before the end of the week are great, but I don't have space for a 3rd stroller. So if we had a bigger space.
Yeah, we need some sort of warehouse space.
Yep, and where are your offices located?
We're in Hampton now.
Okay.
On Todd's Lane.
Okay.
But, and we would love, you know, so if anybody knows where a warehouse is.
Right.
That is empty and looking for new tenants, we'd love to talk and just see, you know, how we could
make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're going to need something like that. The other thing that we need is, this is a request that comes to us so frequently that we have just heartbreakingly never been able to meet. Mm-hmm. And that's daycare needs. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that a single mom, let's just play this, you know, imaginary scenario out. It's not all that imaginary because it happens pretty regularly, but a single mom, is trying to get started with a new job, and all the cards are kind of stacked against mm-hmm. her. And, the one big hurdle, that's keeping her from being able to consistently, go to work is access to daycare.
Right. And there are daycare vouchers provided by the city. And a lot of the moms that we work with, and again, majority of these are women who aged out of foster care. So they don't have a relationship with grandma, with, you know, family that can watch. And, you know, likely didn't graduate high school, you know, working on their GED, things like that. And then they're trying to get a job, and they might almost always qualify for a daycare voucher, but those wait lists are quite long.
Yeah.
So getting in, especially with the young ones, getting in, and being able to have somebody safely watch your child. And that's where you said it earlier. This is these places of crisis are where sometimes poor decisions are made because of lack of options, right?
Yes.
So you leave your child with somebody who maybe isn't safe because you have to work, because you have to provide.
Right.
And I think before we knew, you know, we had the blessing. Like, we had the experience, our first experience with foster care almost 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Our big kids were little, was working with and partnering with a bio mom working to regain her rights to her child. Mm-hmm. And that was our first experience. And so we got to see everything from her perspective. Mm-hmm. And where I think it's so easy for us to judge, right? You know, to sit back and to be criticized for doing everything wrong. We got to see her perspective, to see, gosh, she was in 7 homes in high school and she still graduated. She's homeless, so she spent her days in the library with her son because that was a place that she could go and keep him safe, you know? She would record worship music at church and then put it in the stroller and play it to him. Like, she was a good mom. She just didn't have the experience, right? Like, I remember we had her over, we were eating dinner together. We were making dinner together, right? And she was like, oh, I've never done this before. And I was like, you've never made pasta? And she was like, no, I've never had dinner with a family before.
Oh, Kelly.
Like, oh, my gosh. So our heart is for these moms, right? Like, we want to champion for them. Mm-hmm. And we want to be here for them. And we understand that the cards are stacked against them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so needing that support, like we had, and this story is one that we hear all the time. You know, you have a mom and she's home with her kids, and CPS she's reported to CPS because she left her kids home. It's almost always, well, I had to go do laundry and the laundry facility's downstairs. So how do you take 3 kids under the age of 3 and your laundry down to the laundromat? Like, right, you can't do that. So you made that choice of they're going to be okay here for a few minutes.
In front of a movie or doing whatever.
Exactly. Yep. And that's where these decisions, it's a lack of decision. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you don't have options. And I think that's where when we can partner families, like, we say all the time, like, gosh, she needs, like, a grandma to sit at her house and watch her babies so she can go grocery shopping. And she can, and that's really where that support, I think, can come from.
So covering that gap for daycare would be huge until the voucher is, you know, there till they're able to get on that list. So that's a huge one. And tutoring. A lot of these moms and dads didn't finish high school.
Right.
And they're trying to get a GED so that they can go on, get a better job, provide better for their families. Mm-hmm. And we've really struggled finding reliable tutoring services. Mm-hmm. And so something like that would
be affordable, reliable tutoring services.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are just some of the things that are, we would love to be able to meet those needs. We just don't have the resource.
Right. We'll get requests for a vehicle, which again, huge need to fill. Mm-hmm. But that aside, also, you know, someone who could say like, hey, I can give you, you know, like one Saturday morning a month, I'm going to just come and pick you up and drive you to the grocery store because they don't have a car.
Right.
So like, I can drive you to the grocery store. We can go to Costco or Sam's Club and get the stuff that you need for the month. You know, like being able to just do things like that, or like, hey, I'm home with the kids and like, you can take my car. You can get, you know, like that kind of things that we can be creative with. But it's like you said earlier, if you have people,
it's the stuff that you wouldn't even think about, right? Mm-hmm. Like to just say like, oh my gosh, he's out of town and I have to be in four different places at once. So I need some help. Like I need people to help coordinate that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have people, who do you call?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, Jesus admonished us in Matthew 25 to consider the least of these, right?
Yeah,
and that's going to look different in every society's context. Right. But for us, these are some of the most invisible people in our community. Mm-hmm. And if that is how we define the margins, the marginalized, the overlooked, the forgotten, these are the people that Jesus is inviting us to
find
and to care for. And so I think that's what kind of drives us, but it also is what we're eager to do in partnership with the churches in our community, because nobody else in the community is set up to do it like the churches. No one else can sustain it like the church can. And obviously no one can love like Jesus except for the church. So good. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Before we close, I still have a million questions, but we will close. But, you know, I trust that as we're sharing this, conversation with our church family, that there are people who, the Holy Spirit is prompting their heart. Right. They have questions and they want to get involved. Yes. So what do you want to say to that person who's feeling like that unction to, I need to learn more, I need to get involved? What should they do? What do you want to say to them?
Yeah.
Well, I think it depends on what it is. But so if it is, hey, I've really been wrestling with opening our home and considering foster care, man, do it. Like, go to an informational meeting. There's no strings attached.
Sure.
Newport News and Hampton are eager to invite you into those spaces and those conversations. So do that. Explore that curiosity. We've got a series of videos available that kind of helps demystify the whole process.
Yeah. Foster care, adopting through foster care, private adoption, adopting from abroad.
It's hard to know, when you step onto the trailhead, where you're actually going to go.
Right.
So this kind of helps direct a little bit, answer some of those questions and direct. So that's a great resource. Yeah. But if it's, just asking questions and learning more, Kelly is consistently putting out educational material on our social media, Facebook and Instagram pages, tons of resources there, our website, the blog, there's a blog on there with a lot of information.
Yes.
But our website and social media is the first place really to go.
Good. Right. And we have, I would say two things. Like, one, and this is something we've told our kids since they were really little, that you remember the movie Robots? Our kids love that movie.
Okay. I love the dancing at the end.
So that movie has defined our, how we parent our kids, see a need, fill a need. So we have to be aware, we have to pay attention, and then when we see a need, we fill it, right?
So good.
And so that has been what we challenge them, how we challenge ourselves. And a lot of times we're easily distracted with our phones or whatever. And once we started doing this work, we had interns this year with work from CNU. And I said, you know what, here, your eyes are going to be open and you're not going to ever be able to unsee this.
Right.
But if you can stay close to that, right? So fight the temptation when you're, when you're at the doctor's office or you're at the dentist or you're, waiting on your prescription order. We do a lot of hospital stuff. but when you're there, when you're waiting out in the world, instead of getting on your phone, just pay attention to the names around you. We've had several families come to our organization because I've literally seen them in the in the waiting rooms, just realizing there's something going on, and there's that awkwardness of I've been eavesdropping, so I kind of know what's going on. But let me see if I can help.
Sure.
Just reaching out and being able to help. And I think that's one thing, is just pay attention, because once you start paying attention, you are going to see those families that are isolated and struggling. I just need a little bit of support. I'm a trauma practitioner. 50% of the world's children have experienced trauma. Obviously, if we're anywhere in that river analogy, they have experienced trauma.
Right.
So us as a community, if we understand the impact of trauma, we are going to be better at whatever we're doing. So
Absolutely.
Whether you're a teacher, whether you're, a ministry leader, small group coordinator, little league coach, whatever you're doing, if you are working with kids, are dealing with kids with trauma, and understanding that is going to help you better understand them and really connect to them better and see, the behaviors, the things like that are trauma. So we do a lot of trauma trainings for the general public, for volunteers and churches. And I think understanding that helps us better serve that community too.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. Thank you guys. I can't say thank you enough. I'm so excited to learn more personally, to introduce City Life to this, and to continue to support you guys and see what God does. I'm just struck, you know, that's what Jesus did. He saw people, he saw the need, and he met the need. And if each one of us does that, I'm inspired by your own personal story as well. So thank you for who you are, but also what you do.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Church, thank you for joining us tonight in this conversation. And you can check out more about Echo Family Care Partners at that link on the screen. Follow them on social media. Pastor Justin is also a great portal as over missions here at City Life, and how we can continue to partner with them, as we will certainly be doing. So thank you, church. We hope that you will be courageously obedient to continue to listen to the Lord and how he might have you get involved. And so thank you for reaching our city with us today and joining us online tonight. We love you. We'll see you next week.